I think a lot of it has to do with our marketing schemes and our social media presence and all that stuff. So
because marketing is easy. As most people know us as the highly edited, photoshopped characters from the showcase and videos from the internet and other podcasts.
Correct.
Yes. We started out as Larry founded the company back in 2006.
March of 2006, correct.
Correct. So we just had, are we in May already?
Yeah, we're in May. We're beyond it.
We're beyond May. Founded it for, after starting with, you know, leaving another company that was as a, basically as a sales rep for the area to basically build a better product for the area that was a more kind of budget friendly.
More appropriate for the, for, I guess, the market we were hitting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I started in a company that was based out of Virginia in 2003. I was working for them doing sales, part-time sales. And then, really I picked up from there in 2006. I finally said, you know what? I just couldn't do it anymore. The product wasn't exactly a good fit for this area. So we decided to move on a little bit. And, you know, it was kind of like,
because this was a part-time thing.
This was a part-time thing at the time for me. And, you know, it was just easy to make it a part-time gig. And we started in a trailer. It was 12 foot, enclosed trailer is where it all started.
Some Home Depot cabinets and some MDF countertops.
Yeah,
and
pretty much. That was pretty much the whole start of it was in a little trailer, and we'd run around and basically build these things, and then we got kind of fancy and we started building them in my driveway.
and then
we took it from there. It kind of grew. It grew out of that. I mean, our first location we moved into in 2007.
Seven or eight,
and
that was like 1,200 or 1,400 square feet, yeah. And that place was like bursting at the seams, and we had a little tent that we would kind of truck out every day, and then the one day the wind took it and blew it down the parking lot and bent it to crap, and that was the end of that. And we had a storage unit that we used to have to drive over and load up full of, you know, shipments and things like that because we just didn't have the room for it, and it just was, you know, so far packed up that it was just, you know, it was at the end of it. And, you know, we had to make some, Larry had to make some business changes at that time. And after those changes were made, we were able to move into the place we're in now, which was that lunch coming back up.
Yeah.
Which it allowed us to kind of grow this.
Yeah, so that was what, 2011? 14. So 2014, 2013, I got rid of my former business partner. Just things weren't working out, and so we moved in a different direction. So Ryan was the first employee, and he became my business partner in 2014-ish when we moved. We moved to the facility we're in now, which is, what, about 6 or 7 times the size of where we originally were. So we were in that little shoebox for a long time, and we finally found this place. It took a while, and we've been here ever since, and I think we're kind of bursting at the seams again. We've been so busy, but, you know, it's been a good busy, right?
Yeah, it's a good busy that we have now. We have this other office over here that we're able to have fun things like this, and
yeah, it's a second office, you know. Maybe we'll buy the rest of the building, put a gun range in here, and some other things for you.
You get the sauna.
Yeah, sauna's around the corner.
Yeah,
it's off the executive offices.
It's an interesting thing that when you can, you know, look back to where you kind of started out with and where your ideas kind of led you to.
Yeah, I mean, when I started doing this way back when, I was pretty much, you know, I was in the volunteer firehouse, and everybody would have me put in a radio, or, you know, back in the day when it was, you know, you had car stereos that got, you know, they always asked me for help. I did CB radios back then, and that was kind of like where I got the whole start in the vehicle thing. But, you know, nowadays I don't even think I could figure out these newer cars. I mean, these guys are, you know, they're working with vehicles now that are completely different with the technology and everything else that's going on. But you know, I started back then in the 80s. You know, I had a little bit of help from my dad along the way. My dad was a business guy. I'd love for him to tell his story, but unfortunately, he's passed. But he had, you know, he had a basically dropped out of school in the 10th grade. But yet he managed to build up a business that he sold several times over in different iterations. So my dad became a you know, he was a roofer, started roofing right here in Paterson, New Jersey, and then from there he went into the military for a couple of years. He was in the Marine Corps. Came out of the Marines and he was working with his best friend, his dad, who was an optician at the time, and said, "Hey, this might be a good field for you." And that's just took off from there, and he went down that route, and he became an entrepreneur. You know, he built up the business. When it got so big, he sold it, and then he waited his time to come back again. You know, if there was contractual requirements that he couldn't come back in right away, and he would come back, and he did it several times over. So I learned a lot from him as far as the business aspect of things, which, you know, helped me along the way. But when we first started this, thankfully he was still alive, and he had a lot of input and a lot of good suggestions for us along the way. And you know, unfortunately, we lost him in 2009. But I'm sure he sees what this business has grown into nowadays, and I'm sure he's, you know, really proud of it. So, but he's part of like the reason I really went into the business. And you know, I was working as Ryan said, it was a part time thing. I was working in law enforcement at the time, and I did my 25 years. Retired in 2019. I've been a volunteer fireman with Ryan I've been there 30, gonna go be going on 33 years now. And Ryan, you've been there what, 20 years now?
It's 20 years this year.
20 years. So you know, I've known Ryan a long time. You know, he'll never admit to it, but he is an Eagle Scout. You know, he'll go back to his days as an Eagle Scout. Maybe we can find a picture of him in his Eagle Scout uniform and bring it in one day for everybody to see. You still don't wear that uniform, do you?
I really don't think it would fit in that. Probably.
That might be too much for people.
That might be too much for people.
So yeah, so you know, Ryan and I go back a long way, and he's been in the firehouse. We're not in the same firehouse, but we're in the same fire company, different houses.
What?
Anymore? Yeah, correct. Anymore. So, so that's kind of where the business started, and then with Ryan, we took it to a different level with the whole expansion as far as the whole new line and getting into the cabinetry, like really hardcore. And that was really, well, Ryan and Matt pushed that. So, you know, Ryan was one of the first, was the first employee at 1075. And then Matt came on, there was a couple guys in between, but we had a couple early employees.
Came back.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt was like that guy that he came in for a little bit. He worked part time.
What was it? That shingles where you get it as a kid and then it comes back? As an adult.
Chicken pox,
yeah. Shingles, yeah. So
Matt was your chicken pox and now he's your shingles? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So Matt was like there almost in the beginning. And who else did we have in the beginning? It was Chuck was there, a couple other guys. It was a small shop. It was I think it was 1,250 square feet was the total size of the facility when we moved in. It had one working bathroom, and then everything else was open space. That was really it. They liked to put my name on the bathroom door. They made it my office. It was very nice of them. We had one little desk.
I think we just
finally got rid of it. But yeah. We had a desk that was as soon as you came in the door, there was a desk with a computer. Remember that table?
We had a little round plastic.
The white plastic table that my mom gave us with the four plastic chairs. Yep. I don't know if you've ever seen what happens when big guys sit on those plastic chairs, but the legs do not last. They didn't last. So we had that. We had that for a while, but
we had it till we moved. I think that's when we got rid of it.
Yeah, but I think we broke a few chairs in the process.
Maybe.
I think we had eight chairs, and we ended up with three or four at the end.
I had blood taken in one of those chairs and passed out.
Do tell.
And I don't do good with blood. You know, in the beginning, I didn't know that I would pass out while giving that much blood. So I didn't know.
Would you let a vampire came in or what?
No, I was given blood for a blood test thing, and the poor nurse lady's there giving it in the morning before anybody got there, and they're giving blood, and I passed out, and the lady woke up to the lady standing over me, like, all white and everything. She didn't know what to do because I had conked out, and she couldn't revive or bring me back, like, because I conked out. And
I didn't a little know. Smelling salt. I didn't know that story.
Yeah, it was I think it was for like a life insurance policy or something like that, and it was like
almost didn't make it to get in the policy.
Yeah, but right in one of those white chairs, just
yeah. So the white chairs were with us for a long time. The old desk we had up until the table and chairs also made it to the break room here for a little bit before we upgraded.
Which one?
That little white table, the plastic table, was with us. When we first moved in, we had it set up.
Oh, the white table. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think when we moved in into there, what do we have? Five employees.
In the other shop.
Oh, no, when we moved here, about five. There's about five guys, right?
One, two. Yeah, there's probably five.
Five guys. So when we moved in into our location in Haskell, we were about five guys strong, and I think today, if you look at the employee list, I think there's 44 or 45 employees. So it's been
between
a
here in New York. Yeah.
Yeah. Between here and New York. Definitely been a crazy ride.
I think there's more people in this room than there were employed in the B.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. It definitely is. And that's not just the two of us. There's other people behind the camera and stuff. So counting all those, but yeah, so that's really where it all started. I spent my time in law enforcement, and I was on another podcast and made a comment about vehicles, and that created a stir. I remember that one. Remember that comment?
Oh yeah, how people take care of cars.
But who takes better care of cars? And I said, who's rougher on cars? And I said, cops are definitely rougher on cars. And I got so much hate mail for that. I was like, I guess they didn't realize I worked in law enforcement though. I don't know, or they were just so. So upset by the comment that they figured, they had to attack us. So the name 1075. It's actually, it being a volunteer fireman, everybody knew the code. It was the code for the working fire in the city of New York. We're literally 12 miles from the city. So, we all these guys know New York City. Yep. They knew the whole. So 1075 grew out of that.
I was surprised that it wasn't as well known out of this area as much as it wasn't. Even in more, in South Jersey, Porkwell territory, that somebody, that's down south, even from a transplant, was like, the guys down here don't even know what that means. He's like, but I'm a Northern Jersey guy. And he's like, I know what that means.
Yeah, yeah. The guy, if you weren't from up this way, you didn't really know what it meant. So the name's gone through a few iterations over the times too.
Correct.
We started off as 1075 emergency lighting, and we would get calls from people asking if we could put the emergency exit lights in for them, and we're like, don't think that's the right name. So
yes, that was.
So we went through that. So we ended up with 1075 emergency vehicles, and we didn't realize something that was really unique is that when we started going to trade shows. Numbers are first. So we were always on the trade show directory list, always near the top. So, and that's, we like to be up there because, people, especially with our attention span, we go, okay, we're done. It was good. I mean, it worked out, but yeah, a lot of people didn't know what 1075 meant. They didn't know what it was. But, when we were emergency lighting, everybody assumed that we were doing exit signs and those emergency floodlights and things like that. And we were like, no, that's not us. So that's where 1075 emergency vehicles came out of. And we made that change, I don't remember, 2008, 2009, later? Oh. Later than that, 2014 maybe, when we first moved over?
I want to say so, yeah. I'd have to go look at the paperwork.
So, yeah, so that's where the name came from. The name changed. And then, out of 1075, spawned the first in. So another number-based. You know, again, keeps us near the top on the directory and
easy to say.
Easy to say, easy to follow, easy to remember. So, you know, that's where First Aid Emergency Products came out of. And, you know, that was really a, you know, the cabinet and center console and plastic accessories. That was, that whole line came out of that. And, you know, it's been fun and exciting with that as well. You know, trips to FDIC and, you know, meeting customers and all that's been really, you know, great because, you know, 1075 was more of a regional, I'll call it a regional type business.
Yeah, I mean, you get to see, you know, the First In stuff gets to expose you to people and their ideas from across the country and see how different people operate. And you
even internationally, because we have exposure in Canada as well. So.
And what they're looking for, what they're asking you to build is just, you're kind of like sitting there sometimes like, oh, okay, like, yeah, and just, you know, the stuff that you get to sometimes build or get requests for, just sometimes you don't think you'd ever really get exposed to stuff like that.
No, and I think the other thing, too, is, like, you know, we talk about, like, everything we do as far as the cabinetry is pretty much custom. You know, consoles are custom, but they're more or less just set up with different face, you know, for different face plates. But the cabinetry is really custom. And I think the biggest thing we found is that even department to department, like within 5 minutes of each other, how much different they run their equipment and their apparatus. I mean, and the setups are completely different. So, you know, it's, you know, I remember when we initially did First, and it was like, okay, here's the five cabinets we offer, plus some custom stuff. And basically, you know.
Yeah, I didn't really realize going into it how much people were gonna build out custom stuff. I guess there was that much of a demand for it that we thought more people were more or less looking for, you know,
the cookie cutter
stuff. That's like, okay, send me that, send me this, you know, that's what I want. And, you know,
well, then it became, send me this, but put this, this, and this there.
Yeah.
And then can you do that? Oh, I saw this one online that they did this, this, and this, but I want to do this, this, and this too. And it was like, well, that's custom.
Right. And I don't think it ever really was much cookie cutter at all, because I think even though we started out with branding it with the cookie cutter stuff on the original website when we were listing it,
I don't think we really sold much.
Yeah, right? Everybody was always looking for something custom, and, you know, offered it no problem because we were used to doing custom, but I was really surprised in how much it was still custom, because we didn't think the market really was outside the area was
as customized.
Yeah.
And we've been lucky, and, you know, that we're basically, you know, the East Coast from Maine down to Florida. We have dealers. We've had, you know, sold cabinetry, center consoles, replacement floors, electric, the underseat electric compartments. I mean, all that stuff we've sold all up and down the East Coast, Midwest, Texas, Florida, California. You know, we've had an inquiry from a guy wanting to be a dealer in Alaska, which, you know, when I sent the information off, I was like, you know, I don't, it's going to be cheaper for you to build it there than it actually is going to be ship it. You know, he's better off buying a CAD machine and building his, honestly, because the shipping costs to Alaska are insane. So
I think the entire time, I don't think we take ourselves very seriously too much, to the aspect of, like, being a fire service oriented, emergency service oriented business. Like, we're not the people that show up to a meeting, you know, in a suit and a tie, or to a trade show in a suit and tie. Like, you know, you'll see us wearing jeans and shorts and a button down, like a polo shirt. Like, you know, we're not salespeople. We're not the people that, you know, are in there giving you sales tactics or trying to trick you into doing something, like, or giving you like a hard sell or anything like that. We're there to, like, talk to you and, you know, see what you need and things like that. And that's, I think, the difference with it. And that's why, like, when we market ourselves, like, we're there to have fun, like, with it. Like, we don't have a problem pushing the envelope or doing fun things with like the haters comments or different funny videos or, you know, just trying different things just to be out there, because I think.
Well, I think there's a relatability because we have a lot of first responders in the right. company itself. So, I mean, as first responders, mostly firemen, we have a couple of retired law enforcement guys. And I think that's really where it comes from, is right. that, you know, it's a little bit more of a laid back atmosphere. I right. mean, we call ourselves a casual company.
Casual. You're right. It's yeah. it's just even the way that we're, you know, just in general with you know, the day to day of everything with the business. Like, I think just how we operate, how everybody is with the employees and everything like that. Like, I think it's just the atmosphere in general of it. And like, I mean, even with our customers and stuff like that, I mean, it's just to be easy, like, just what do we need to do to make this work?
Well, and I think that's, you know, goes to the point of like when we do trade shows and stuff like that,
right?
We're not doing a hard sale, but we can talk to people because we've all been there. Ryan's an ex-chief. I'm an ex-chief. We have ex-chiefs that are all, you know, so we've all been there in the back of a vehicle. We know how to set them up, or at least give guidance on how to set them up. And that's right. that's a big difference. I mean, you don't have some guy in a suit trying to sell you something that he's never done, never will do, and has no understanding of. And I think that's the biggest difference with that. And that's where the custom comes in, because we see from day to day, you know, our involvement with the fire service, that, you know, we've seen it evolve and we see how it's going and we see how departments are. And I think that has a lot to do with understanding what people want as far as yeah. custom goes. And it takes to a new level with that.
And that's I think it has to do with the can-do attitude of, you know, knowing, having the background of, because we're still a very small company to the aspect of it, where you're calling, you're not getting, a salesman that just is there punching numbers into a computer and getting, you know, a build out of something. You're dealing with, you know, me. You're dealing with only a few amount of people that are there. You're not getting with a big conglomerate. Yeah.
We don't have a customer service team overseas that's answering calls 24/7.
Right. So, it's not us. If you're calling and, you know, you're asking questions and if can this be done, and I can more or less visualize it in my head to know that, you know, in relative terms it can be done, I can go grab Matt and get some type of rough sketch together and – or not even involve him, because and just make the problem easy, because make the problem later, because engineering's easy later on.
Yeah, let him figure it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, let them figure it out. It. Just yeah, make it, do be it done, no as we said, make it done later. But, you know, knowing it can be done is part of the problem solving that we have with, I think, coming from the fire service and thinking on your feet aspect of it, where, you know, that whether it's, you know, building a cabinet or finding somebody a chassis, whether it's, you know, shipping it from out of state or
painting it
or, you know, whatever the solution is or problem or the request is, and making it work for the customer, I think is the difference of it. And I think trying to make that seamless for them is kind of the difference for them.
And I think if we realize, you know, we get the engineering, we realize it's not going to work. We got to get on the phone with the customer and we're like, hey, listen, we right. thought we could make it happen. This is going to be an issue.
Right.
We got to modify it.
Right.
We're not afraid to do that.
And these are your options, and giving them a different solution for it. And if it was an oversight on our part, like, you know, owning up to it and say, listen, we had put in the amount of work into it, and when it came to the end of it, the finalization of it, like, it just wasn't there. And, you know, we got to make some adjustments to it. And, you know, here's some solutions for it. But, you know, make it, you know, happy in the end, you know.
We built cabinets and we had to scrap them 3/4 of the way through. We're almost done with them. And we realized it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, it happens. But, you know, it's a vision. Usually Ryan takes the vision and, you know, from the fire companies, and he runs with it, and Matt and Sam get stuck trying to figure out how to make it work. So, in our engineering department, I mean, that's what it comes down to. But we have, you know, as a company, we've surrounded ourselves with good people too, and that's really, you know, we have people that are knowledgeable in certain areas, and you know, I think we lean on those people when we have to, to really get the job done. And, you know, we know that, you know, it's if it's got to be, you know, built out to test it, we'll build it out to test it. I mean, it's not something we've ever shied away from. You know, it's, you know, it's just been the way we've been since day one. I mean,
you gotta not afraid to fail.
No, you can't be afraid to fail. And, you know, you sometimes you dump money at something and you're like, well, that didn't work. Okay, now we got to start all over again. But, I mean, it's part of running a business. It's part of being in business. And, you know, again, it's, you know, I think right now as far as our company goes, we're very happy with the way things are running. We're very happy with the employees. I think we have some great techs working for us that are doing great install work. We're not a kind of company that's just going to just throw wires in and just run out the door and that's it. I mean, everything's clean. It's neat. It's labeled. We're not trying to push jobs out the door. It's going to get done the right way. And I think that says a lot to everybody that works in there on both sides, on the first inside and on the 1075 side. Everybody puts in a hard day's work and they really, most of the people I think enjoy working for us. And, again, it's part of the atmosphere. It's kind of a fun, relaxed atmosphere and we get the job done. There's days that it's not as fun and there's days that it's not as easy, but, you know, for the most part, we try and keep it fun and relaxed and easy going. But, you know, it's all been different since COVID, really. You know, things have changed a little bit for us post COVID just because we've exploded. You know, that was really the time that we became a bigger brand company. I mean, you know, and by no means are we big. We're still a very small company, but we went from basically like I think 2020, early 2020, we had what, maybe 12 to 14 employees, somewhere around there.
20 maybe.
It was less than 20, but somewhere around that 20 mark, and then from there, I mean, post COVID, we're a couple years past it, and we're at 40, 47, 45, 46, somewhere around there. So I mean that's a big growth, so that's really impacted us as far as just growth wise, and I think a lot of it has to do with our marketing schemes and our social media presence and all that stuff. So
because marketing is easy.
So I've heard that marketing is easy. I just our marketing director, he tells us that all the time. If marketing's easy, just give me the money and I'll throw it at it. So. I think the you guys, as far as a team, you guys do a good job, and I think marketing has really helped us, as far as the social media, and all, like Ryan said, all the videos, be it the actual showcases or the little goofy stuff that happens that gets caught sometimes, it makes it fun, and that's again part of the company dynamic.
Can't make everybody happy.
No. You'll never make everybody happy, but we do our best. We do our best, so.
Memorable moments during this crazy.
I remember the burning of the credit card.
Do
you remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah, that happened.
That was old shop.
That was
whichever credit card.
Yes, I was having an argument with the credit card company on the phone, and I said, "All right, we're done using the credit card." Ryan was,
you said, cut, you said
younger. I said, destroy that credit card. Was exactly what I said. So the next thing I know, I'm like, "What smells like it's burning? What smells like plastic? Is there plastic burning?" And I turn around, and there's a blowtorch and a credit card. He destroyed the credit card. So I mean, that was one of those memorable moments. I had a fight with a mouse, computer mouse.
You threw a mouse at a computer screen?
Yeah. And then I broke the screen and I blamed.
Because you're, IT?
My patience. I was like the Geek Squad.
You were the Geek Squad, yeah.
And my IT didn't work, and rebooting the computer didn't work, and this didn't work. And so I guess the next best thing was just throwing that poor little, it was a wired mouse, so it was a long time ago, right through the computer screen.
Yeah.
And then it broke. And then I said, I don't know what happened.
More recently, rushing backed into our work Tahoe.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That happens. It happens. Yeah. It was minor.
That was minor. I arced a a wrench against a battery the one day. I think I nearly needed to change my shorts after that. That was one time. The other time, I think I didn't realize what was going on. I was working on a fire truck and somebody had drilled through a strobe power supply wiring harness, and I had a power probe and I was checking the wiring, and it's AC voltage.
Those strobes took a lot of power.
And I was standing on a spackle bucket, smart thing to do. And I was in the compartment of the truck with it, standing on the spackle bucket, and I must have grounded something wonky or something like that, and it basically arced out in my hand, and I fell backwards into the gear rack. That was interesting.
Did the spackle bucket survive, though?
Spackle bucket survived.
Okay, that's important.
Somebody ran me over with his car.
Never happened. No reports were ever taken on that.
No reports were ever taken with that.
That's what happens when you stand in the blind spot.
Yeah, the blind spot.
Yeah. Remember the buses? Remember working on those buses?
Oh.
Spent a summer working on buses, right?
Yep. That was not fun.
That was not fun. Camera systems and buses, that was...
School buses are not meant to be taken apart.
Yeah. The guy goes, oh, it'll be an easy project. 20,000 rivets later and screws. But, yeah, that was memorable. What other stuff? Oh, the bowling. We went bowling one day. Some people didn't make it quite home as others did.
Mm.
It happens. Some adult libations might have been had, and some people were probably had to be driven home. It happens. So, What'd they get Jimmy with in his office? They decorate his office, or the confetti, was it?
Was it the confetti? I know we put the little stuffed rats in there the one day.
Yeah, that was
it. I don't know if we got him that good with it, though.
He's angry, that's why.
Did we get him that good? Do you remember those little rats? The little...
No.
You don't remember those? Remember when everything flooded and the rat was setting off the motion sensor in the shop? And he was freaking out about it. And then I got the little furry... I got the little stuffed rat that was like actual, it looked real, and I put it on his desk behind his computer screen.
Yeah, I don't know if we got video of that.
Oh, we did put somebody on computer. Yeah, I remember that.
That rat was big. I didn't realize that we had rats that big in New Jersey. But.
So some of the other vehicles, obviously, that we work on. You know, it's not just fire specialty, or it's not just emergency services vehicles, but we do a lot of other vehicles. We do have some projects in the work for some, like we're going to be redoing like an adoption vehicle interior soon that you'll probably see.
Pet adoption. Not a human adoption.
Pet adoption vehicle. Yeah, you could get yourself in trouble with that.
Yeah, there's a pet adoption vehicle that we're doing. Yeah. We did a makerspace for schools, which was basically a portable STEM lab. So we do branch out. We do other things.
We're up for a challenge is really what it comes down to. Is, you know, there's a lot of crossover for different things that we do, and you know it's not hard for it, you know, you take the lights out of it. What is it really? It can be anything at that point, the application for it. So,
yeah.
But, so with.
Yeah, with I mean, it's anything technology based. We love the challenge, technology.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, happy to bring it on. So,
with that being said, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode with your hosts, Ryan Dodd and Larry Cohan.